A woman from West Molesey is using Valentine's Day to urge more of us to learn life-saving CPR. 50-year-old Ali Avila suffered a cardiac arrest at home one evening in August 2020. Ali's husband Jorge was quick to act, providing vital life-saving CPR alongside his sons, who were then aged 16 and 14. Ali takes up the story now as she tells me how her family and paramedics at South East Coast Ambulance Service saved her life.
Obviously, the heart stopped because there was a 99% blockage in the main artery of my heart. So that stopped, obviously, the heart, and that's why I had a cardiac arrest.
Do you have any memory of how you felt before or what happened to you as
absolutely. Yeah, I can tell you what I felt. The few days before the cardiac arrest, I had a couple of alerts, which I didn't know what they were. And when I got them investigated, it was during the second wave of COVID. So there were a lot of restrictions and the hospitals were crazy. They did all the standard checks that they would normally do. But when I went, I wasn't suffering chest pain. I had told them the symptoms that I had felt before. And apparently in the bloods, it only shows, you know, the stress in the heart within 6 hours. So if you don't act quickly when you have a chest pain, the blood results will come normal. Therefore, they didn't have any, clinically, they didn't find anything overly concerning. So I literally thought it was a hormonal change, because I had learned that, you know, you may have certain symptoms when you do that. And, you know, I was quite fit and young and never had health problems myself.
And I understand that your husband was a bit of a superstar because he acted very quickly.
He did, absolutely. So basically on the day, because when I felt it again, on the day I felt that I was a little bit nauseous, I felt unwell. I felt a little bit of a chain compression, like they're very minor, whilst I was playing paddle in the afternoon. And I remember my neighbors were playing with us. They said, "Are you okay?" I'm, yeah, don't worry. I will call the GP on Monday. To the neighbor's house, we were having a meal and a drink, and I was feeling unwell progressively. It was weird. Like when you're drunk a little bit too much and you're not really sick, but you feel unwell, that's how I felt. I felt really different. So I said to my husband, "I don't feel well." We went home and I really felt that way. I said, "I don't really know what's wrong with me. I never felt this way before, but I don't feel well at all." And he said, "Lay down 5 minutes. And if you don't feel well in 5 minutes, I'll take you to hospital." And I said, and this is what was actually probably what saved me. I said, "Well, okay, but don't go anywhere and massage my face, because it helps me." So the last thing I felt was his hand, across my face. If he had gone to go, you know, have a shower, or we went to sleep, he wouldn't have noticed what happened. It was immediate that I lost, obviously, pulse and I stopped breathing.
Did your husband do CPR or did he just call the ambulance?
Of course, he did all of it. I mean, my husband was definitely the star and the hero, because he intervened, obviously, 20 seconds of panic, you can imagine. And then he called 999, and the 999 operators were amazing to guide him through the thing. But my husband had awareness about first aid. He said, "Do I need to put her on the floor?" And they said, "Yes, start CPR. Do you know where the defibrillator is?" And he said, "No, we didn't know." So obviously, we didn't have a defibrillator at hand. My children were there. They helped him put me on the floor, and he started immediately CPR. So within a minute, according to our calculations, he would have been with me, you know, with him on top of me and starting the compressions, with the operator on the phone helping him and dictating him the numbers, you know, like they help you count. And that's amazing, because when you're stressed, and my husband was obviously, you could go too fast, you know. So they keep the count for you, and they don't let you until the ambulance paramedics arrive. The operator's with you on the phone, which was amazing.
I don't think enough people know how to do it. And I guess that's the key message, isn't it? Is to go out and make sure you know how to do CPR.
Yeah, I think that most people don't react because they feel they're going to make things worse for the patient. But the individual has no chance. Absolutely. If your heart has stopped, there's no breathing. If you don't start CPR soon, or soon after you see somebody collapsing, you can't make things worse for that person. You can only make things better. And if you have a paramedic telling you exactly what to do and how to do it and counting it for you, then absolutely there shouldn't be any need for, you know, a special training. Anybody can do it. But obviously, if you have training, it gives you more confidence to do it and intervene. But anybody can do it. And you know, short messages as to what to do, call 999, get a defibrillator, give instructions directly to the people around you to help you. And then you following the instructions with the 999 operator, you can start CPR. It's hard to talk about it, you know?
Are you well and are your children okay? I think although it was a horrible thing for them to see, I think it was absolutely amazing they saw their father acting so quickly. And he's a real hero.
Absolutely, he is. Obviously, the paramedics then took over and built over what he had done. So it wasn't really my husband only, the paramedics also.
Ali and her husband Jorge attended Walton Ambulance Station recently to meet and thank paramedics. South East Coast Ambulance Service has used Valentine's Day and February's Heart Month to release its new figures on CPR rates. The report shows the public has played a vital role in the increased survival to 30 days rate of 11.5% over 2023 and 2024. It's the highest rate recorded by an English ambulance service, a 2% increase on the previous year, and represents 307 lives saved. It's the third consecutive year that the Trust's survival figure has been above the national average. Dave Hawkins is critical care paramedic and head of operations for West Kent in the South East Coast Ambulance Service. He tells me the importance of getting critical care to someone who's suffered a cardiac arrest.
Cardiac arrest is where your heart stops. And it really is as simple as that. Your heart is not beating on its own. No blood is circulating around your body anymore. It has stopped. And without immediate action, that will lead to irreversible and permanent death. It's something that you can't come back from. But with the right actions, with life support, chest compressions, and better still, if there's a public access defibrillator nearby, the chance of survival can be as high as 70%.
Once you go to the defibrillator, it will explain what you need to do, won't it?
Exactly that. You turn the device on. They're all a little bit different, but they've all got instructions on them and how to use them. You turn the device on. It speaks to you. It tells you exactly what to do. A key message I would love the listeners to take away from this is that you cannot harm somebody with a public access defibrillator. Literally not a thing. You cannot harm them with it.
What is the Good Sam app?
So the Good Sam app is an app where you just simply Google Good Sam app and it'll be the first result that anyone gets if they're interested in this. But basically, it's an app that seeks to crowdsource CPR. So people that have got a valid first aid certificate can sign up to Good Sam. And essentially what it will do is if there happens to be a cardiac arrest in CCAM, it varies ambulance service to ambulance service, but in CCAM within 500 metres of their location, the app will alert on their phone to see if they're able to help. There's no obligation, and if they're unable to help for whatever reason, they simply reject the alert and nothing more would ever be said about that. But if they're able to help, they can accept the alert, they'll be guided to the patient, they could pick up a public access defibrillator en route if they happen to know of one, and they start CPR until the ambulance arrives. It's not instead of the ambulance, it's complementary to the ambulance service. The ambulance will already have been dispatched when the Good Sam alert is sent out. Anyone can do this. You don't need to be medical. You don't need to be a doctor, nurse, paramedic. You just need to have had some sort of training, basic life support.
How do you know if someone's collapsed in the street, how do you know that they're having a cardiac arrest and you need to use a defibrillator? What would the signs be?
It's really challenging to describe, but I could go through some of the features. So the first thing is they will collapse. They will not be upright. They will be either being supported by something or they will be on the floor and they will probably collapse very suddenly. Now, in some cases, there will be absolutely no signs of life whatsoever, as in you'll see that they're not breathing. It will be, you know, obviously clear that they're not breathing, and their colour will change very rapidly. So they will go from looking, you know, like everyone else to sort of really draining, going quite blue, and because obviously the blood flow has stopped. But it's really important to say that's not always the case. So in some cases of sudden cardiac arrest, patients can look like they're still breathing, but it won't look normal is the key thing here. It will look like they're gasping. It might look like they're choking. Some people say they look like a fish gasping when you take them out of the tank. That is cardiac arrest. Just because there is movement doesn't mean the heart hasn't stopped. So, you know, very, very key to remember that. So a collapsed patient, they will not be able to respond to you. They won't squeeze your hand. They won't be able to obey a command. They may look like they're gasping. That's still cardiac arrest and it still requires basic life support. And another key message I'd give is, if in doubt, start chest compressions, because you're very unlikely to damage somebody through chest compressions. And honestly, if they're not in cardiac arrest, the likelihood is it will elicit some sort of response from the patient. But if you don't recognise cardiac arrest and don't do chest compressions, then that patient will only be worse for it. So it's much safer to presume cardiac arrest.
Because that's really scary, isn't it? If you want to help, but I mean, I would be terrified if I saw that and then had to do chest compressions on someone. I'd be terrified of hurting them.
It is, but you can't hurt somebody with chest compressions. Somebody in cardiac arrest without very prompt action, the cardiac arrest will be irreversible in a matter of minutes. If you do some chest compressions on them, you probably will feel that you might break some ribs and things. That's very, very normal. Your chest is not designed to be used in this manner. But what we know is it saves lives. Broken ribs can be fixed. They will heal over time. But a brain that has had no oxygen won't repair itself. So that's kind of the risk assessment, if anyone's worried, is you can only really offer hope. It's a situation where you can't really make it worse.
And we know that ambulances across the country, wait times have increased and it is very difficult. You know, some people report calling an ambulance and they don't come for hours. I'm guessing this is a situation where the ambulance, once the control centre takes the call, the ambulance will be going straight there, but it will still take time, won't it?
It will. So it will be our highest priority of emergency call, and we will aim to send an available ambulance if there is one, or it would be the next available ambulance if there isn't one immediately available. And we do look to divert people from lower priority calls where a delay is unlikely to cause harm. But it's also worth saying that we, as an ambulance service, are supposed to get to such patients very, very quickly, less than 10 minutes in all cases. And the issue becomes that when you have a cardiac arrest, your chance of survival is deteriorating by 10% for every minute that goes by. So you can see how the community response, the response from a bystander, is absolutely key to producing good cardiac arrest survivors. Because even if we get there very, very quickly, let's say we get there in 7 minutes, we've still lost 70% of the chance of survival unless somebody was doing CPR in that time.
I mean, I'm reading here that between April the 1st, 2023 and the 31st of March last year, CCAM attended 9,065 cardiac arrests. It's an average of more than one cardiac arrest every hour. And that seems like an awful lot. Has that figure risen?
I don't think it's so the honest answer is I don't have the data to answer the question accurately, but my lived experience is that it's not more of a problem. It's roughly the same. But as the population grows, obviously the prevalence of cardiac arrest will grow. Everyone will ultimately suffer a cardiac arrest at some point in their life. You know, our heart will stop and we will pass away. But that's very, very different between you know, unexpected cardiac arrest, which Ali's clearly was, you know, at her age, nobody would have suspected this was going to happen. Obviously, in those figures, it does include patients where it is less surprising that a cardiac arrest has occurred.
So is there any way, it begs the question, that we can protect ourselves against cardiac arrest?
So living a healthy lifestyle is key. You know, so I know that people are probably tired of the messages, but try and eat a healthy, balanced diet. Getting exercise is definitely a thing to do. Smoking really does increase the risk of having a heart attack and then that leading to a cardiac arrest. Basically, avoiding the things that are bad for us, or keeping to, you know, those things in moderation, and trying to live a really good, healthy lifestyle. But ultimately, other than that, there's not much else that can be done. Listen to our bodies as well. So lots of people will experience chest pain, for example, the earliest sign of a heart attack, and they'll think to themselves, "Ah, it's a bit of indigestion. It's not particularly important." I couldn't tell you the amount of patients I've been to in cardiac arrest that thought they had indigestion. If you take an indigestion remedy quickly and it doesn't go away within a couple of minutes, phone 999. I'd much rather that we saw a lot of people with indigestion than miss people that are having heart attacks.
So to refresh ourselves once again on the difference between a cardiac arrest and a heart attack, here's some handy information from the British Heart Foundation.
What's the difference between a heart attack and a cardiac arrest? Heart attack. Usually, a blood vessel to the heart has become blocked by a clot. Thanks to BHF research, we know heart attacks are caused by clots in arteries. This is because the heart muscle is starved of blood and oxygen. Pain. Or a feeling of pressure. Or burning in the chest. Some people just feel uncomfortable, others have strong pain. The person may look sweaty or breathless. Someone having a heart attack is usually conscious. This is a medical emergency. Call 999. While you wait, sit the person down and keep them calm. Cardiac arrest. The heart has stopped pumping blood effectively. This is usually because the electrical signals in your heart have gone wrong. The brain isn't getting enough oxygen, so the person becomes unconscious. They won't be breathing normally or at all. This is a medical emergency. Call 999. The heart can't pump blood, but you can. Start CPR. Chest compressions and rescue breaths can keep someone alive until medical help arrives. Cardiac arrest equals CPR. Visit bhf.org.uk/CPR.
I'm Lucy Mayo, wishing everyone on behalf of Radio Jackie a very happy Valentine's Day and good heart health.